When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV, and be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
More on the Monkees in just a moment. We're talking with Chip Douglas, who was a key player, both literally and figuratively, in so much of the most favorite tracks from the 1960s. And he's with us here on Coast to Coast AM. I want to go back. If you missed the first half hour, you may not have heard Chip say this, but you were in high school and you were in this kind of Kingston trio kind of wannabe band, right?
Poppy group, you might call them. Yep. And we, yeah. That's all we did was sing Kingston trio songs. And we met in a dormitory on the Punahou school campus, and we used to practice them up there because there was a lot of echo in the hallways, you know,
Yeah.
place to practice.
Yeah.
So anyway,
so what was it like for you? And do you remember the very first time you met John Stewart of the Kingston Trios?
Kingston Trio. The first time we met was when I went to audition for the part that Dave Gard vacated, and they needed someone to replace him, and there was a couple of guys in consideration. They flew me over there to audition. I was about 19, and I played with them and so on and so forth, and came back to the office the next day, and one of the road managers said, well, Chip, to be brutally frank, you didn't make the scene. And I went, oh, okay, well. And then in walks John Stewart through the door, and, you know, he was about to audition or had already gotten the job. One thing, first time I saw him, and we said hello, and it was just a couple words, and that was that. And then I went back to Hawaii. I didn't see him much until much later when I, you know, was living in L.A. again, and got together with him, and on occasion was following the trio around, and we'd hang out and got to know him and listen to his songs. And you
were friendly. I mean, it was no hard feelings, yeah. Obviously. It was pretty cool. All right, so now let's go back to the Turtles. So you record this album, this great album with the Turtles, which has one of the earliest known, as far as I know of anyway, versions of a song by Warren Zevon, like The Seasons, which is on that Turtles album that you had done so well with Happy Together. And then also the track She'd Rather Be With Me, which is another great song from the Turtles.
Yeah. Now, those I didn't produce. I didn't have anything to do with. All
no.
I really did with the Turtles was Happy Together and a couple other songs, one of which was a forgettable one called Can't You Hear the Cows, and a couple other things. And they never made it to the albums, but the main one was Happy Together. And right after that, I got, you know, better offer to go produce the Monkees. And so I had to leave before, you know.
Before album number two. You did one album, one great song, and then you're out. So you left because, again, I've heard a couple of different versions of the story. Did this happen again at the Whiskey A Go-Go that Mike Nesmith came up to you and said, we'd like you to produce the Monkees?
Well, that was not the first time I'd met him, but that was the time that I had to decide whether I wanted to stay with the Turtles or accept Mike's offer to go produce the Monkees, and something I didn't really know how to do. I'd never produced a record in my life. I'd recorded on a few of them, but I wasn't a professional producer by any means. So I was hesitant. I said, "Are you sure about this?" He said, "Don't worry, don't worry. I'll teach you everything you need to know, and you can do it. Believe me, I have faith in you." So I said, "All right, I'll do it then." And you know, he said, "There'll be a good substantial paycheck in it for you, so you know, don't worry."
Right.
So I said, "Okay." And I hated to leave the Turtles. I was having so much fun with those guys. I mean, we'd go on the road and get all wigged out.
Yeah, wigged out. Let's just call it that, wigged out.
That's all they wanted to do was have fun, you know. They didn't want to be taken seriously, the Turtles.
Right.
And that's the reason Howard Kalin says, "And how is the weather?" In the end, he says, "I put that in there just so everyone would know that we're not serious about this. We're just having fun, and that's the way we do it." And so, okay, you know.
Yeah, I love when you look at the videos of what would later become Flo and Eddie in the Turtles. That's a rare arrangement of those two lead vocals in a way, two front men in a way that play off of each other for such great comic effect while they're singing these love songs. And I think that was a unique vibe. It was a very entertaining approach to pop music because it sort of elevated it a little bit to like a circus act. I mean, it had that kind of frivolity to it.
Well, Mark was quite the clown on stage. He tossed that tambourine 50 feet in the air and then catch it with his foot and all of this kind of stuff and jump all over the place. And of course, Howard, still my favorite voice of all time.
Yeah, great voice.
I mean, especially the song that he did called "You Baby."
Yeah,
I don't know what it is about that vocal on there.
Love that tune.
You know, his voice kind of breaks in places, you know, like Tammy Wynette does that little throat break thing. And he just sounds so great in those things, you know. And he's one of my all-time favorites. But two-part harmony was my favorite thing, you know, just like all the country artists do nowadays. You got one guy to sing the melody, and the other guy comes in, and he sings that high harmony on those choruses, and everybody has done that. You know, the Beatles do it in all kinds of places and all that kind of stuff, you know. It's electrifying to me to have that sound. When one guy singing it is fine, you know, but boy, if you bring that other guy in, and not the same guy. A lot of people dump themselves and do their own harmony. But if you got some different voice up there that really works well, it's I love it. You know, it's my favorite thing.
Well, it's so in evidence, and I've actually already pulled "You Baby" for a bumper later on tonight. But we're talking with Chip Douglas, and what do you think Mike Nesmith saw in you? I'm sure you've been asked this question before. I'm sure Mike commented on this before his passing. But what? I mean, that is such a long shot that he would pick you.
He was a big fan of the Modern Folk Quartet, for one thing.
Okay.
And he knew I had the ability to arrange harmonies for another. But then, you know, a big hit with the Turtles, and there we are on the Smothers Brothers singing this wonderful record. And that, I think that got to him, too. And he said, that's the guy we need, you know. It's so, you know. And
yeah. But, I mean, that's...
And we were friends. I didn't see him too much, too often, but, you know, we knew each other. But mainly he was a fan of our group, and I guess in particular a fan of mine, and
not just a compliment. I mean, this is where the Monkees had so much to prove because they were pushing back against Columbia, and they were saying Cold Gem Records, and they were saying we want to play our own instruments, we want to produce our own records, we're going to do that. And it's either that or this whole thing falls apart, and eventually they caved and the Monkees got to do it. And suddenly here you were, you know, as the captain of the ship when so much was at stake for these guys. That's more than just, hey, we like what you do to this record. You want to come over and, you know, kick around our headquarters for a while.
Right. No, I felt the pressure. The little gray hairs were sprouting all the time, you know, as I was working away with them. But,
right.
It was a lot of pressure. I didn't think about it. I got so absorbed in the music, I just had to keep going and keep trying to get another record done. Lester Sill was rubbing my shoulders, saying, we got to have another record, babe,
right,
before the TV show starts filming again, and keep going. And so right, we just kept cranking them out as best we could and
plug it away.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun: Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
But you know that so I know that the band Alchemy, as you were talking about with the Turtles, that's such a amazing thing to find. It's a harder thing to keep, and it's a really easy thing to lose. And so because egos and because of you know, spouses and because children and because touring and because all sorts of different reasons that bands end up, drugs, alcohol, bands start falling apart. The Turtles were hanging together. You pull out, and here were the Monkees at this pivotal time. And the story goes that Mike Nesmith and Peter Tork just never really got along. Was that your experience when you walked into the sessions with the Monkees?
It's kind of sort of, but they really wanted to pull together on this Headquarters album. That was the, you know, they were determined to be their own band, and that was my job, was to help them do that. And so we, you know, there were disagreements here and there and stuff, but by and large, everybody got along in the Headquarters album. Later, I don't know, after I was not involved, I mean, there may have been different things.
Mike is very vocal about that. He would say, working with Peter Tork, he said, I never liked the guy. He said, all we ever had was an uneasy truce. And I think it was because they were the two best musicians in the original four.
Well, Peter could be very, very argumentative. I mean, but he'd give in after a while, and I'd try to make my point, and he would try to make his point. And first of all, he never wanted me to be the producer in the first place.
Okay.
He wanted Stephen Stills to get the job, but
right,
he didn't do it. So anyway, but after talking to Peter, I said, but Peter, see it this way, and so on and so forth, and it'll be, well, he said, all right, Chip, you're the producer, and he'd just walk away, and that would be that.
But wasn't that, there's a twinge of sarcasm in there.
Oh, yeah, he would, you're the producer, and he'd walk. But, you know, somebody has to decide, and that's
right,
what you get hired to do, I guess. Not that I said, it's got to be this way or else. No, it's just I tried to make my point as diplomatically as I could from time to time. If I felt it was important, and yeah, you should play this part, and you should sing this harmony, and this guy should do that, and that's the way I went about it, you know.
Yeah. But interestingly enough, too, you became, I mean, I know this gets tossed around, but you became kind of the fifth monkey because you took over bass, freeing up Peter to play keyboards and guitar and doing other stuff. That was the instrument that you played best. But what was that like when you said, okay, well, I'll play the bass on these tracks?
Well, I made the point up. Peter is such a great keyboard player. He would sit down and he'd play these amazing classical pieces, you know, the dun 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 dun. And I thought, wow, this guy can play the piano. So why don't we have a piano, a guitar, a set of drums, and a bass? Well, Davey couldn't play bass. And to do it all over again, I might have said, well, Peter, let's just do it as a three-piece, drums, bass, and Mike on the guitar, and then you add your keyboard later. But I felt that we needed to have a little combo of four guys, just like the Beatles, you know, a band, so that you could play with a four-piece band in the studio. And that's the way we went about it. And Davey was playing the tambourine in the background, stuff like that, because he didn't play rhythm guitar in those days. So that's how we did it. And yeah, they accepted that, although the management, Bert Schneider in particular, he called me in his office one day, and he said, Chip, you shouldn't be playing with them in there. You should stay in behind the glass on the other side where the recording machines are and let them do the thing. And I said, well, I kind of feel that I kind of got to help hold it together by being on the bass, you know. So that's what I did. And it could have been done differently, but that's the way we did it.
And that's really Peter then playing the piano.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And all of that headquarters stuff and all the Pisces stuff, too. It's Peter on the keyboards.
Yeah, yeah.
And he did some great things. I mean, it took us a while to get. There's a solo in a thing called The Girl That I Knew Somewhere. It's a harpsichord solo. And it's in horn fifths, which are a thing that you hear with French horns usually. But Peter explained it. Oh, they're called horn fifths. And then the harmonies are like this. And he started playing this thing. I said, hey, that's great. Can you work out the whole thing as a solo? And it took him a while, and it was a very complicated, you know, a lot of notes in that, and two-part harmony at that. And he did it beautifully, you know, and I love it in there. It's just, it's different. It's not an amazing fuzz tones guitar solo. It's a classical sort of sounding harpsichord part. So there you go.
So let's go back to the beginning of this half hour then, and at some point, you're in conversation with John Stewart, formerly of Kingston Trio, and you ask him, hey, do you got a song? Where did that happen?
Well, it was up in Laurel Canyon outside of Henry Diltz's place, probably.
The photographer.
That's where we used to kind of hang out. And he would, when I was producing the Monkees, he'd say, hey, I've got songs, you know. I said, great, well, let's hear them. And so he play me his stuff, and I became familiar with lots of his songs. And then one day he played me this Daydream Believer. And the thing that grabbed me about that song was the way he hit the low note in there, which, you know, the bluebird as she sings. And he had this deep bass voice, and he hit this low note like that. I said, whoa. And that's what grabbed me, just that hitting that low note like that. I didn't think about the rest of it that much. I mean, you know, I liked the song and everything, but I thought, well, I'll play this for the guys and see what happens. And so I took it in and played it for him, and Davey right away goes, that's for me, man. You know, that one's for me. And so it is.
It's a song perfect for him.
Yeah. I was thinking, well, we didn't get that big bass note in there, and the bluebird as she sings, you know, that's Davey sang in an octave higher or whatever, but it didn't matter. What also made that record, and I got to give credit where credit is due, is Shorty Rogers arranged
that brass. For
that. He was a famous jazz composer and arranger, and I had some ideas for string parts, and he had some ideas for extra trumpet parts that went in there, and in particular, this one kind of unison part where the song mellows out in the middle and the trumpet just goes.
Yeah, right.
I just made that whole song right there. You know, I thought, oh, wow, And I didn't think of that. And
you know, I always thought of that. I always thought that was a very Herb Alpert-like break.
Oh, yeah. It just, I love trumpets, especially unison trumpets, you know, when
right.
they're just a little line together. And
But it sounded like an A&M arrangement, that trumpet part, that just everything about that to me had a little Tijuana Brass vibe to it. And then I had looked up once, and Shorty Rogers did a lot of arrangements over at A&M with Herb Alpert, and I thought, okay, that's not my imagination. There was at least some.
I'm sure he did, yeah.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the craziest surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.